For now, though, it's Thursday. We know what that means. Voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, joining the program. Mike, as always, a pleasure to have you. The Gophers win the Duke's Mayo Bowl. They beat Virginia Tech. Not going to sugarcoat it. Wasn't the not going to mayonnaise coat it. How about that? Wasn't the greatest of games, if you will. But the Gophers get a victory. 8 straight for the Gophers. What does that mean for the program, Mike? What does that mean for PJ Fleck's tenure here at the program?
I don't know. I mean, I think it means that they have prepared well. They've got a system, it seems, that that I think for the most of this run, the Gophers have had favorable matchups, first of all, so that's good. They've been favored in just about every one of those 8 games, so they've held serve. But I also do think in bowl games that are non-playoff games or non-New Year's Six games, the team that wins is usually the team that wants to be there the most. It's a little like the NIT in basketball, and PJ Fleck over the years has been able to instill in his guys a value to the bowl game, even if others don't particularly see value. Like, I can't tell you how many times, just even here in the Twin Cities, media members or fans or whoever, just in general, talked about the fact leading up to the bowl game, it's just a meaningless bowl game. It's just a meaningless bowl game. And while technically that's true, I don't know why people have to qualify it. Who cares? It's a bowl game. And PJ Fleck has been able to get through that and get his guys to believe there is some meaning to it. And if you saw the game, you saw that the was effort level was high on both teams. Both teams wanted to win it, and there was a nice celebration. And look, when you're a senior playing in your final game, as there were many of those for the Gophers, you want to go out on a win, and so they did that. So I don't know why people take such delight in trying to downplay the bowl season. It's one of my annual pet peeves. It might be my biggest pet peeve among sports fans. Oh, there's too many bowl games. Oh, they don't mean anything. All this stuff. And I don't know if they don't understand what the bowl season's about. I think they have some misinterpretation that it is there as, I mean, it's supposed to be a reward, yes. But, I mean, bowl games started as a tourist deal. El Paso, Texas, and Pasadena, California, and Miami, Florida needed to figure out what they could do to get people to come in the week after Christmas, because that wasn't a very busy week tourist-wise. Mm-hmm. And they said, how about we hold a bowl game and a Rose Bowl parade and have some of the biggest schools in the country come and play and thousands of fans come in. And that was the original intent of bowl games. It was nothing about, oh, you deserve this, or the best team that has the best season is going to go there. And then now it's become a situation where ESPN basically has 3 channels that they need to fill programming with at a time in which, during the week, there's not a lot. There's no, during the day, there's not a lot of college basketball. There's not a lot of, obviously, there's no baseball. The NBA's not playing Tuesday games at noon on December 22nd. But college football games can be played. So they own all these games, and they have them. And, if you don't like it, just don't watch it. But quit telling me about how crappy all these bowl games are. Just move on with your life. Change your channel. Go watch Dr. Phil.
Mike, it's because college football, there's no other sport than college football where its fans hate the sport itself and love it at the same time. No other fan base in a sport talks more crap about their respective sport than college football fans.
Yeah. You're right. And I mean, look at the opening round of the playoffs.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So there's 4 blowouts. Who cares? Right. It happens. Like over half the Super Bowls have been blowouts, but no one's saying, boy, yeah, the LA Rams didn't deserve to even be in it. You know, they lost to the New England Patriots and then won it 2 years later, all this stuff. But ESPN, who is the biggest stakeholder in all of the bowl games, right? They basically own them all, including the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
They basically spent 3 days crapping on the college football playoff that they invented.
Yeah.
Like there's the reason there's a 12-team playoff is because ESPN, the SEC, and the Big Ten wanted it, and they made it. And then basically the first 4 games were blowouts, and ESPN spent 5 days crapping on the system that they basically invented, including a guy I respect a lot, Kirk Herbstreit, but he's totally off his rocker on some of his thoughts.
I don't know what he's doing, Mike. He's lost it all. Yeah. I don't know where he's going with it.
Brutal. like pipe down about Indiana. First of all, mm-hmm. they absolutely deserve to be in. They were outclassed and all this. Well, what about Tennessee? I didn't hear you say that about Tennessee, mm-hmm. where you now live, by the way, right? He lives 2 hours from from Knoxville. He lives in Nashville now, and Tennessee got blown out by his school, Ohio State. And instead of knocking down Tennessee the way he did Indiana, he spent half the broadcast knocking down Ohio State, who just blew out Tennessee.
Unbelievable!
It was one of the most remarkable weeks for a guy that poured his life into college football, just crapping all over it. It was bizarre. But anyway, I digress.
I do want to get into the college football playoff, but there's one more question I want to ask you about the Gopher football program. And I did have some plans to talk some Gopher basketball, but I don't think we're going to have time for that. But I did want to ask you who stood out to you in terms of players that we can expect to see regularly next year. Obviously, Coy Parrish is going to be the guy that everybody thinks big things of going into next season. Whatever the quarterback is, that's going to be of topic, of course. But who did you not really see a lot this year that stood out to you in this bowl game where you're like, let's keep an eye on him over spring camp, over summer camp, and into the fall?
Yeah, quite honestly, there weren't a lot of guys like that because the Gophers had just a handful of opt-outs. So they played mostly guys that have played. That said, there are young guys. Kerry Brown, I mean, he won Big Ten Freshman of the Week one of the weeks. Mm-hmm. He had a great game. Maverick Baranowski, who's been a regular starter when he's been healthy this year. He missed a couple of games with a shoulder injury.
Awesome name,
clearly,
too.
Yeah, a great football name. He had a fantastic game. He was, I think, in my opinion, the defensive player of the game. And he's going to be the starter next year, middle mm-hmm. linebacker. He was kind of an outside linebacker with Lindenberg in the middle. Although, in essence, they run two linebackers and kind of a monster nickel in Jack Henderson. So there really isn't a middle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They just rotate to the boundary of the strong side. Anyway, I thought he was good. Kerry Brown was good. You mentioned Parrish. Lamecki Brockington at receiver had some big catches. It was funny because I talked to Greg Harbaugh, the offensive coordinator. You see this sometimes in regard to a position group, and all of a sudden somebody is – it has been around a while. So the receivers and the tight ends, he oversees as an offensive coordinator all of those rooms, but he was the tight ends coach before he was the offensive coordinator. So he has a special connection there. And he has talked about how it's been fun to watch once guys go off, how maybe they've deferred to the leaders, and then they step into leadership roles. And he said he was most impressed this bowl prep with Lamecki Brockington at wide receiver and Jamison Gears at tight end. Gears, of course, deferred to Nick Kallerup this year. Nick Kallerup deferred to Brevin Spanford the previous couple of years. Brevin Spanford deferred to Co Keefe before that, and on down the line. And Daniel Jackson certainly was the leader of the wide receivers room. Well, he did not play in the bowl game. He was with the team, but he was, getting ready for NFL draft workouts and all of that. And Harbaugh commented to me, we were just kind of off the record talking. I guess it's not off the record now if I'm talking about it, but I don't think he'd care that I share this. We're just in the hotel in the lobby talking. And he said he was really impressed with the step that Brockington took during this 3-week bowl prep with no Daniel Jackson around. Brockington really took over the leadership of that room. So I think we can look, we've always known he's had talent, and when you take on a leadership role, I think oftentimes an increased level of production follows because you have to validate why you're leading that room. So I think we'll look to that. Drake Lindsey got in for a couple of kind of gimmick plays at quarterback, but I don't think if he has success next year that it's going to be, well, I look back at those two plays and that's what did it for me, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the bowl prep may have helped with extra practices, and I know he did run a lot of reps with the ones, knowing that this kind of a bridge between the 24 and going into 25. But quite frankly, it wasn't like Virginia Tech, who played all kinds of freshmen who hadn't played.
Right.
Their secondary had one combined start because they had so many opt-outs and transfers. So the Gophers should have won. They did win. I thought they dominated the game. They made a couple of mistakes that probably prevented them from winning it more like, 38-10 instead of 24-10. But, they played pretty, pretty well in a game they should have won.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mike. I want to ask you about the college football playoff here, but I am looking forward to spending the spring and summer debating the quarterback position, because there's nothing more fun than that right there, telling everybody else who should be the quarterback and waiting for the coaches to make that decision.
Great discussion, and we haven't had that here at Minnesota for several years, right? Tanner Morgan had that position held down for a number of years. Ethan Kelly-McManus was basically the ordained starter for the 2023 season, so there really was no debate there. And P.J. Fleck made it clear when Max Brosmer came that there was no competition. In fact, he commented openly about it, that they almost never recruit a player and say, you're the guaranteed starter. Right. In fact, I think he said it might have been the first time he's ever done it. And so there was no debate last year. I don't know how much debate there'll be this year. I think they really like Drake Lindsey. He's been in the program for a year. He's been attached to the hip to Max Brosmer. But there is a guy who used to be a four-star quarterback in high school that wasn't able to break the starting lineup at Georgia Tech, who has been promised a chance to compete. And we'll see how he does in spring ball, as he'll be. He's in Minnesota now. He's getting ready for the second semester.
Should be exciting. Notre Dame, Penn State tonight. Notre Dame giving 1.5 to Penn State. How do you foresee this game going? Who's your winner tonight, Mike?
Well, I'm a pro Big Ten guy. There's no doubt about that. I'd love to see the Big Ten win a second straight national title just to, you know, keep elevating the conference, because, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the SEC hasn't had a great year, so I'd like that to continue, because they certainly have dominated the college football landscape prior to last season. I think they had won, was it 14 of the previous 17 national titles. I think the ACC with Clemson had two, and I think Ohio State had one mixed in there in 2014 or whenever that was. So that part is good. So I'm kind of pulling for Penn State. That said, as you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I had Ohio State winning the national title prior to the 12 teams. I just think they're the most talented team. I thought the Michigan game would serve as a wake-up call, and it sure has. There's no doubt about that. They have dominated the two games. But I also liked Notre Dame. I thought they were a sneaky pick. If you watch, I know everyone wants to point to the Northern Illinois game, and that was, you know, a terrible game for them and inexplicable. I mean, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of loss. You know, I mean, they've had some bad losses over the years, but that's a terrible loss. That said, since that day, they have dominated. They've killed everybody they've played. I mean, they haven't had any trouble. I think every game up until the Georgia game was a double-digit win for them. And I can't even remember. Was the Georgia game a double-digit win? I didn't get a chance.
They won by like 14, so 13, that is, 23-10. So technically it was double-digit, but, you know, I know what you mean by the aforementioned.
Yeah, and so that, you know, 13, but it was closer than that. They had that 50-second stretch, and, you know, right before halftime and right after halftime, that they scored like whatever it was, 14 points or 17 or 13 points in that little bit. But my point is, they've rolled everybody, and they haven't played the toughest of schedules, but they were playing great. So I got Notre Dame probably to win tonight. I got Ohio State, even though that's going to be tough. I think underrated part of that is that's in Dallas. I mean, that thing, you know, Cowboys Stadium is going to be Texas fans. They'll have, you know, 90,000 Texas fans and 10,000 Buckeye fans there. So definite home field edge, but Ohio State's playing right now at such a high level. I'd like them to win. And, you know, I mean, the one thing that the college football playoff has to be thrilled about is they've got four blue bloods. I mean, this is a name brand city in terms of the Final Four. And so they're guaranteed a marquee big name matchup no matter who wins these two games, the one tonight and the one tomorrow.
Preseason, I picked Ohio State. Prior to the 12-team playoff, I picked Notre Dame. So if I can have that in the final, I'll be a happy man, and I'll brag about my credibility moving forward. That's Mike Grimm, though, voice of the Gophers. Love having you on, Mike, as always. We'll talk next week. Otherwise, enjoy the playoff and enjoy Gopher basketball over the weekend.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. Always enjoyed, Jake.